our show. We have a multi-person call today. First of all, we have NAFQ's Brandy Bruyer on the show. Did I get the last name right, Brandy?
That's great. Thanks,
got
Mike.
Got it. Yes, I got it this time. And then we have Seabank's Brian Kuntz. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you as well. Hey, let's talk about a couple of months ago, you guys partnered up. And tell us about the Seabank NAFQ partnership. I mean, how does it work and how's it going so far? Brandy, do you want to start out? Ladies first.
Well, the partnership from our end is going very well. There's a natural chemistry between NAFQ and our members and Seabank and what they have to offer with people from both sides. Everybody's benefiting exactly as envisioned at this point. Our members are able to access some great resources and have some more tech savvy things at their disposal. So from our perspective, it's going great.
Awesome. Awesome. Brian, anything to add there? I mean, you guys have a load of content on your side that would definitely benefit anybody for that NAFQ or anybody else like that.
Yeah, we do. I mean, in a nutshell, the partnership provides NAFQ with a solution for its members to help them solve a whole host of regulatory compliance issues. And as I'm sure we'll talk a little bit later about why that's becoming more important. And then for Seabank, for us, it really helps us expand our credit union membership into, you know, our network of financial professionals. So that's the big picture. And then just mechanically, how does it work? It's really simple. I mean, NAFQ markets the existence of this solution to their members, which is a free resource for them. Mm-hmm. And that helps their members, you know, identify who Seabank is and figure out how to get connected. And then the companies together work on co-marketing arrangements for us getting the word out to some of our credit union members that aren't yet NAFQ members to let them know what a wonderful association NAFQ is. So it's a real, you know, interesting win-win back and forth in a co-marketing relationship.
Indeed, indeed. And now what are looking at the bigger picture here, what are the goals for this partnership? Obviously, sharing content and being a great resource, all that good stuff. Brandy, do you want to add or chime in?
Yeah, one of our big goals here was, you know, NAFQ as a trade association can only offer so much to our members under Virginia Trade Association law. So Seabank allows our members to do things like share ideas about vendors, access templates and policies and procedures, and really share ideas and crowdsource solutions and sometimes even creative solutions to their problems and the regulatory burden that they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And you know, different tactics for risk management. Hey, anybody use this vendor? Hey, who's got this product? What'd you do? What were your challenges? How'd you succeed there? And so for us, that's one of the big goals for our members was just, you know, NAFQ is committed to extreme member service. And this was just a natural fit and flow for us to continue out that mission. And Seabank gives us just another route to provide that to
us. Awesome. Brian, you want to compliment that answer?
Yeah, I would say, you know, from our perspective, one of the goals of the partnership is our early focus at Seabank was really more around banks early on. I mean, I think it was part and parcel because of the regulatory compliance environment at that point, which is different now for credit unions. And in fact, when you look at the word Seabank, the C in the start stands for community, and then the B-A-N stands for bank, and then the C at the end technically stands for credit union. Not too many people know that. So we had an eye towards credit unions from the very beginning. And right now, our bank membership comprises about 85% of the banks in the country, but we're still only around a third of the credit unions. Mm-hmm. And so part of what we're doing, part of our goals for working with NAFQ, it's twofold. One, to work with experts in the credit union industry like Brandy and Anthony and other folks at NAFQ to help us better understand what can we do to appeal more to credit unions. And then the second goal is really just to expand that membership, you know, to get up to 50-85%, you know, ultimately get it up on par with our bank membership.
Yeah, that's even a pretty impressive numbers, even on the banking side. And it's not too shabby on the credit union side, but obviously you want more because, I mean, I've been on the site and I've been all over it, and the amount of content on there is phenomenal, and that's an understatement. I mean, there's so much, like you were saying, Brandy, there's kind of like a forum-esque type of atmosphere where people can exchange ideas and say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Maybe we can adopt that over here. It's just a fantastic resource. All right, let's switch gears here a little bit. What are some of the latest trends that you guys are seeing, and how are both organizations leveraging this information? You want to go first, Brandy?
Sure. So, you know, ultimately we have Dodd-Frank just pouring more and more regulatory burden down on credit unions. You know, credit unions have to, even smaller ones, really face some strong regulatory challenges. There aren't a lot of exemptions carved out, for example, for smaller institutions. And so what we're finding is that regulatory compliance just is getting more and more challenging for folks. And anything anybody can do to help each other out and tackle that overwhelming burden is just astounding and really helpful to members. People need that crowdsourcing ability right there and a jump-off point. And I think CBank really provides people with that. It can help compliance officers save time. Instead of having to tailor an existing policy, you know, you can tailor an existing policy or procedure instead of building one from scratch by using somebody else's template. And just getting drawing upon other people's experiences too. We find lots of credit unions promote somebody into a compliance officer position. And so being able to tap into things like the forums, or Brian was telling me about a new feature that lets people collaborate. Just tapping into someone else's experience can be really great for some folks.
Exactly. You don't have to reinvent the wheel most of the time. You know, you can find out information from another expert or another peer or something like that. Brian, you want to add anything there?
Yeah, I mean, some of the trends we're seeing, and this is common to banks and credit unions now, which is another point to make that, you know, we do have banks and credit unions working together.
Isn't that amazing?
Which is kind of interesting. Yeah, it's at CBank. You know, I think someone told me at a conference recently that, you know, there's a 95% overlap. Now, the 5% that doesn't overlap is very important, especially to CEOs and boards of directors of banks and credit unions. But for, you know, for compliance officers who are looking to solve problems every day, for IT professionals who are looking to find out more about vendors that can bring a lot of value into the credit union, you know, there's a lot of knowledge sharing that can go back and forth between banks and credit unions. But back to your question about trends, you know, I'll echo the compliance thing isn't going away. It's only getting more and more. I mean, the percent of operating budget that's being spent on compliance is continuing to go up, especially when you're, you know, sub-billion in assets, or and 78% of our network is under 500 million in assets, and which is, you know, representative of the banks and credit unions in the United States, really. It's just very, very challenging because as the compliance officer in a small credit union, you're probably wearing four other hats already. So that's tough. Within compliance, we're seeing more strict regulation around vendor management. In fact, what we're hearing is that examiners aren't just looking at a bank's vendors, they're looking at those vendors' vendors. So there's kind of a channel, a downstream, and it's all about risk mitigation, but there's a lot of that that's coming up. So, you know, that, and there's a lot of discussion around all of the new mortgage rules that are out. Again, compliance related, but how do you tool up for that? And then I'd say, just switching gears a little bit, another interesting trend in general that applies to both banks and credit unions is there's a lot of discussion from the tech community about how do disruptive fintech innovators play together with existing and, you know, the incumbent banking system, which includes credit unions for sure. And there's a lot of discussion about, you know, do credit unions and banks just become the plumbing? Well, maybe that's a valuable component of the overall ecosystem. And so that hasn't sorted out yet, but there's a lot of discussion going on right now about how do we innovate, you know, within the credit union industry, and who's going to drive that innovation? Is it going to come from the credit unions? Is it going to come from tech innovators that are raising money in Silicon Valley, or is it through some interesting partnership? And so it's something we're watching very closely because, you know, if we could help that by bringing a collection or a network of credit unions that could work together to be part of that innovation, then that could be, you know, pretty interesting for all involved. So
how can credit unions take advantage of all this information? My gosh, it's just, again, the amount of information on there is just overwhelming. Brian, you want to start out on this one?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, coming back to the partnership, that's one of the reasons why CBank adds a lot of value to NAFCU's members, because ways that they can take advantage of the information is they could come to CBank and search for existing documents. They can pose questions to the community. You can actually, the community is set up where we have a reputation system that where the community rewards its members from their contributions. So if I'm a credit union member and I answer someone's question, I can earn reputation points from the community. And that allows us to sort content by who's, you know, who has the most reputation that's contributing the content. And it also allows me as a credit union member, a NAFCU member, to find the really smart people around given topics. So it's more than just a place to download a Word document. It's really a full-blown professional social network where you can find the people who can help you. So it's a great way to take advantage of all that information.
Excellent. Brandy, anything to add there?
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, like I said before, people use a lot of the templates. And like Brian said, as much as the documents are a big piece, the conversations that stem from that, the ability to have that electronic sort of network and tap into additional expertise from folks around the country, whether it be at a bank or a credit union with a similar asset size as yourself, it's just a really invaluable tool to a lot of compliance officers.
Indeed. Where do you see this partnership going in the years to come and to further benefit the credit union industry? Brian, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of what we're doing today, really. I think this is one of those partnerships that everyone hopes to be a part of. It's a combination of, you know, one company with very deep industry expertise in within the credit union industry. Every single day, all the folks at NAPQ are thinking, how do we help the credit union industry? How do we help our members? Mm-hmm. And we at CBank lack that expertise, but what we bring is deep technical expertise, you know, online community building and so on. And also the knowledge that we've learned from the banking side, which again overlaps quite a bit with the credit union side. So, you know, I see us continuing to do more of what we're doing and accomplishing those goals that we talked about a little earlier.
Indeed. All right, Brandy, any final words to wrap up here?
Well, just like we said earlier, the regulatory compliance burden is not going away. People are just settling into TEAL RESPA, and now we have, you know, the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act coming down the road, and those kinds of things are huge overhauls to your loan operating system and your compliance. And as things just keep progressing in that direction, mm-hmm. people need all the help and resources they can get. And we're committed to finding whatever pathway we can to helping our members succeed, helping our members grow, and whatever tools that we can put in their direction so they can meet those goals. NAPQ's all about it. And we really want our members to grow with us and benefit. And so we just look to CBank as another way to do that, and we hope that that partnership keeps growing and lets us find new and dynamic ways to help our members.
I think so. I think you're onto something there. Appreciate the time, and
thank you.
Let's do this again.
Sounds good. This is fun.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Randy Gray from NAPQ and Brian Koontz from CBank. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.